Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Ah. The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Good morning, Millennials. Welcome back to the Morning Toast. Happy Monday. Hope everyone had an amazing weekend. Hello, Jax.
Hey, Clerd. Wow. It's a Monday. It was such an eventful weekend. Just filled with so many celebrations.
I mean, Simchot.
It was the wedding weekend of the century. Like I think everyone was at a wedding this weekend. There were so many.
No.
Not just for you and your
family. No, I know.
And your four weddings.
Yeah. Insane. Like literally on Instagram yesterday on the plane, just wedding.
Wedding. So I'm happy for all the happy couples that tied the knot. But I am biased. I'm most happy for a few special ones, near and dear.
I mean, it was, on Friday's episode, I was like gushing about the time. Yes, I got 3 hours.
Now you're paying back.
Singing a different tune. It is so exhausting coming home from LA. I'm a broken woman. Like, it was the type of weekend where like your feet will not be the same for like a month, you know?
Yeah.
But I was really, really sad to miss Dana's wedding. Like, I knew she understood that, like, I had to thirst out. And I really, like, appreciate she didn't even judge me for it. She didn't wince. She was like, I totally understand. But I was devastated to not be at the Duty Brown wedding.
We missed you.
I know. I spoke to Snitch.
It was so amazing. Like, it was just such a great weekend. Dana is just the best person to have to celebrate because she's such a great friend to everyone. And her now husband, Josh, are the most perfect compatible couple that just to like celebrate them and dance with them and all of those things. It was a joy, a true joy. And I'm just like so emotional these days because of my hormones. And just like looking at her, like it was just making me cry. Like,
no, totally.
I was just so happy for her. Like, I was just sitting at the table. Like, I was dancing, but then, I couldn't do the horror because, like, that is a safety hazard.
100% for a pregnant woman.
Yeah. So, like, I would be sitting out, like, wiping my eyes. Like, it was a really emotional weekend, but I had so much fun. It was so nice to hit the dance floor. LC was out there. Mom was like this. LC's like this. We were boogieing. It was really, it was just so much fun. It was such a great weekend. I'm so happy for our girl. And she looked incredible. Grace Gorgeous. Kelly, who?
No, literally. Like, I was, she like never really wears a lot of makeup. And it was, she looked amazing.
She looked amazing. The dress, the hair, the makeup, and she looked like herself.
Yeah.
But just so glamorous.
Yeah.
And it was beautiful. Her vows were hysterical.
She's so funny.
She memorized them. She memorized the whole, all of everything she was going to say. The room was roaring with laughter. You would have loved them. It was
wow,
really,
that's impressive she memorized it.
She's a crazy woman.
She's crazy, yeah. But she's also really smart. Like,
she has a photographic memory.
Right.
If you're a redhead, you know all these things about Dana already. And it was the ultimate Dana's choice, as they say.
That's so cute.
It was so cute.
I was, like, honestly having major FOMO, even though, like, I was at the event of the year. Like, I was really missing Dana.
Yeah, it was really special. But we all want to hear about your weekend.
Well, my weekend was great. Like, busy. It was, like, the busiest weekend in LA. Like, so many events, so many weddings. And I thought I would only be able to make it to Simon's. But the timing on Friday night, I was actually able to do Simon's rehearsal dinner welcome party. It wasn't a rehearsal dinner, a welcome party, and then head to Paris's Neon Carnival, which I didn't think I was going to be able to go to, even though I was completely dressed inappropriately. Like,
how so? I thought that you looked
so
fun.
It was neon themed, so everyone was wearing neon.
Okay.
And it was at the Santa Monica Pier. They closed it down. It was more like, it was like rave vibes. Diplo DJ'd.
Yeah.
So everyone was like wearing like sandals and sneakers because you had to walk up the pier and it was like a beautiful night. I was wearing my enormous platforms. Like I looked like I was literally going to a bat mitzvah. And I was just like, I felt very out of place. And my feet were fucking killing me by the end of the night because you had to like walk up the boardwalk. But I was so glad that I got to go to both. Like, Paris looked so pretty and she was so happy. And there was like so many fun people there. And it was just lit. Like, first of all, I got there late, so like, I didn't really even have time to experience like the fact that she shut down the Santa Monica Pier. Like, go to a roller coaster. There's no lines. Play a game. And all the games, like, you know, classic carnival games, the prizes were all like Paris stuffed animals. Like, they weren't like dogs. You would get like a stuffed Paris. It was crazy. So it was just like really well thought
out.
Did
you bring home any prizes?
No, I'm like, I told you, I didn't even have time to enjoy the carnival because like by the time I got there, it was like so late. I like had to, you know, celebrate the bride, say hi to peeps. Like, I didn't have time to enjoy the pier.
Got it.
Which was so cool. Like, what a cool concept, you know? Yes. It was beautiful. And Simon's wedding was just like, literally, like the way you felt at Dana's, like everyone was crying. Like
misty.
It was cry, 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 cry. Like, cry, 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 cry a little more. Like, just cry.
That's the best kind of wedding. Like, I don't know what is in the air at those sorts of weddings, but it was just, it was an emotional weekend. Maybe it was like a weekend where only true lovers got married.
Well, this is why I surmised. This was my summary, like, of why everyone was so emotional. Like, first of all, like, walking down the aisle, like, Simon was hysterically crying. Like, you know Simon. Like, he doesn't cry.
No, he's serious,
he's
man.
He's so serious. But, like, his, like, Phil is just, like, this angel. And, like, Simon was just crying and everyone was crying. Like,
I can't.
It was, like, Simon had to stop the ceremony, like, three times to blow his nose. Like, it was crazy. Like, you just never see Simon cry. So I think it got everyone, like, really, you know, hyped up on emotion.
Got it.
But also, and you know, I actually realized I've never been to a gay wedding before. Like, I think there's just more that goes into a gay wedding. Like, the couple has been through so much to get to where they are. It's just, you're already emotional, like, for that reason alone.
Yeah.
And it was just so gorgeous. Like, you just couldn't cry. Like, you couldn't not cry. The ceremony was so stunning outside, perfect weather. And then, like, as the ceremony is about to start, like, just the moon is, like, right above. Like, you couldn't make this shit up. So it was just, like, so gorgeous. And then Simon's brother spoke, and it was just, he was so emotional. Like, he was honestly giving me, like, Tony Robbins vibes. Like, he was walking around the dance floor. He didn't, like, even have papers. And everyone was crying, like, talking about, it was just, it was beautiful. Like, it was such a gorgeous wedding. And Simon and Phil are just, like, a great couple. And, like, everyone showed up for them. Like, obviously, it was A-list to the nines. Mm-hmm. But, like, it was, you know, Simon's home friends from Canada and the Kardashians. You know, like, it was just everyone. And he really made everyone feel, like, so welcome. And it was just a crazy, beautiful, stunning, smart evening where I was just like living my best life with my fellow A-listers.
Yeah, no, it seemed that way. It looked so beautiful. I'm so happy for them. And it was a really great, successful weekend. What can you say? Love is beautiful.
Love is beautiful. It was just sickening.
Sickening.
Kim made the funniest speech at Simon's welcome dinner. Yeah. She really like is like an SNL comedy queen. Like, I'm telling you, that experience changed her forever.
You think so?
100%.
Yeah, no, I saw some of the highlights, like the Instagram stories and stuff, and it seemed hysterical.
Yeah.
And she looked sickening.
She's so tiny.
What did she wear Saturday night? I haven't seen a photo.
I actually saw her taking her pics, like, that I know she's going to post. Like, I know exactly where it was. She looked unbelievably sickening and gorgeous.
I haven't seen much of her.
I won't spoil it.
But I loved Chloe's outfit so much.
Let me tell you something about Chloe.
Please do. Please tell me something about her.
You know, you think you know, like, they're America's family. You know, mm-hmm. You think you know them. And I'm telling you, like, what you know about them from keeping up, like, is exactly how they are. Like, Kim is very serious and, like, so, like, loyal and, you know, steadfast.
True.
Chloe is my queen. Like, you would have never thought she was, like, the most famous person in the room. She stayed all night dancing with, like, Simon's friends, walking around with her shoes off, like, having so much fun. I was like, I fucking love this girl. Courtney and Travis are this like, the energy in the room shifts when they walk in. Like, they really are, like, that couple. Like, and they are, like, this rock and roll. You know, they were doing their thing, like, foreheads touching. Like, they're obsessed with each other. They're so, like, electric. I can't even, like, use another word. Yeah, like, there's just this magnetism around them. And it was, and they were, like, it was also Travis's birthday. So, in the middle of the, like, dance party, the DJ stopped, they, like, brought a cake and played all the small things. Like, him and Courtney were being really cute, and it was just like, you just can't not look at them. Like, they're so electric. Chris, of course, was there, just being the mothership that we know and love and you're just, like, are obsessed with. And Corey was literally the life of the party.
I'm most interested in Corey.
I actually got to speak to Corey a lot, and he is like everything you would imagine.
This warms my heart.
Yeah, I love him.
Wow. Beautiful. You love to hear it.
And everyone just had so much fun. Everyone was like really just so like happy and celebrating Simon and Phil. And it was just the greatest weekend. Like the best couple, greatest weekend. And now I'm paying the price for it, like fully.
Yeah. No, my body hasn't experienced a day such as that.
Did you get to nap even on your...
I didn't get to nap on the day of because I was like in the bridal suite mm-hmm. all day. But I did find about like 40 minutes of peace and quiet like on a nice couch.
I love that.
Right before the Ketubah signing.
Perfect.
So I felt, you know, that was my moment. But it was actually such a great getting ready, like bridesmaid day. Mm-hmm. Dana cultivated an amazing vibe. She had the red Taylor's version on repeat in the whole country club all day. When I pulled... I showed up at like 12 o'clock and I had been in so much traffic and I was like ready to vomit.
Yeah.
And All Too Well 10 minute version was playing in the lobby and I was just like, okay,
it's going to be okay. You.
Plus our color was maroon for the dresses. So our pajamas were red. So we were all like sitting in this room. It's thunderstorming outside. Crazy.
It was?
Yeah, it was like.
What's her ceremony, outside or inside?
No, everything was inside. So it was fine. But there was like crazy hailstorms all day. So it's like coming down so hard. We're sitting in our red pajamas, listening to Red Taylor's version mm-hmm. and like just getting glam and eating bagels. And it was like Yum. Such a nice, like great vibe of a day.
Yeah. I'm like so sad to have missed it, honestly.
Yeah. No,
but I'm so glad
you would have loved it.
You're ingesting red. Like you said you have a lot of thoughts and like, I'm waiting with bated breath.
I need to talk about all of my red thoughts, specifically my All Too Well thoughts.
Sure.
We'll get into it in the Fast Five because we have a lot of Taylor news. We'll break everything down. And I have something I need to share with the class and just get it off my chest.
What?
No, it's just about All Too Well.
I thought you meant like you had like a personal announcement. I'm like, what is it?
No, no thanks. No, I'm good.
Okay.
So I think that we should jump right in if we're finished catching up, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I've said all I need to say.
We'll continue catching up as we always do. So much TV on last night.
I didn't watch 1 minute of it because I was on the plane and Newark Airport is literally my nemesis. Like, I'm fucking coming for your neck, Newark Airport.
But can I tell you what was on TV last night? I only got to watch half of it. Potomac was on, Salt Lake City was on.
Adele.
Watch What Happens Live. Adele, Curb, Succession, Yellowstone. How are we expected to breathe?
No, I know. It's disgusting.
It's disgusting. So I watched Potomac, Salt Lake City, Watch What Happens Live, and Adele. And so I'll be sharing my thoughts.
That's pretty good.
I did the best that I could.
Okay.
And Brew was like living for Adele. Oh my God. He'd never heard such a thing before.
No, it's a once in a lifetime kind of talent.
Because when her last album came out, he was just, you know, a twinkle in my eye.
Oh.
And he was living for it. He was like, Mom, this is talent. I was like, Bruzel, I know.
We've been trying to tell you this, Bruzel.
Okay, without further ado, it is time for the Fast Five stories that you need to know before you wake up and take a bite out of your morning toast.
And today's episode is brought to you by Solo Stove. There's nothing quite like the feeling of gathering around a warm fire on a cool evening. And a smokeless fire pit from Solo Stove makes your outdoor moments even more memorable. Because instead of having to constantly dodge campfire fumes, you can sit back, relax, and actually enjoy the fire. And this year, you can shop Solo Stove's Black Friday sale early. Get great deals on a Solo Stove fire pit from November 11th through the 18th. You guys, people were quaking at our first read for Solo Stove. They either hadn't heard of it, or if they didn't, they were so excited to get the sale. Solo Stove is like a life-changing product. Mm-hmm. And ever since we started talking about it, I realized so many toasters already have and so many are getting them now. It's kind of like everything of the sort because fires are amazing, but they can be really tedious. Like, and they can have a lot of like annoying things about them.
Like cleanup, yeah. All those things. Solo Stove makes it so easy, compact, and also like it makes bonfires a year-round activity.
Right. You upgrade your backyard with a Solo Stove fire pit where you can enjoy the mesmerizing flames and all the opportunities to create good moments and lasting memories. Their fire pits are brilliantly engineered. They're made with premium grade 304 stainless steel and a 360 degree airflow system that maximizes efficiency while minimizing the smoke. Shop their best deals of the year early from November 11th to the 18th. That's $10 off if you get use the promo code TOAST, plus a lifetime warranty and free 30-day returns. So again, get that extra $10 off the early Black Friday sale at solostove.com and use the promo code TOAST. Check it out. You won't regret it.
Okay, first story, Red TV weekend. Taylor Swift on SNL performing the 10-minute version of All Too Well. The short film dropped. The new music video dropped this morning. And we all had time to spend with the album and are ready to share some of our more thoughts.
So I think let's go in order. Let's start with the All Too Well short film.
Okay, I need to start with this because I've had a revelation. When she first said, you know, she was doing the short film, it's Sadie Sink and Dylan O'Brien. Sadie Sink immediately reminds me of the book that we read for the Redheads called My Dark Vanessa.
Okay.
Because she was my casting choice. It's like a young redheaded girl.
Okay.
So I just had that in my head.
Okay.
And then I watched the All Too Well music video. And you know how you say Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo is like champagne problems? My Dark Vanessa is all too well.
Even though the song came out before.
Yes. No. I'm not saying. And then also the author of My Dark Vanessa posted this whole thing to her stories talking about how when she first heard All Too Well back in the day, like she perceived it as a story about trauma. And then watching the video, like My Dark Vanessa is an extreme version of the the story of All Too Well. Because in My Dark Vanessa, it's like a high school student and her teacher.
Got it.
So it's a much wider age gap, but it's like this same
dynamic.
Age gap dynamic. Yeah. And I just can't. And then I was like researching and stuff and like on Twitter and seeing what the fans were saying. And like All Too Well is My Dark Vanessa.
Got it.
And I would implore everyone to read the book because it's one of the best books that I read last year, except I would issue an extreme trigger warning. Mm-hmm. Extreme. Like sexual assault, grooming, etc.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just really in it. The short film was amazing.
Unbelievable.
Sadie Sink is a star.
Okay. It was literally the Sadie Sink show. Like she, first of all, is so gorgeous.
So gorgeous.
So unique looking, you mm-hmm. know? Like all these girls in Hollywood, I think, like, are starting to morph into one another. Like we all look the same.
Mm-hmm.
We. LOL. That was just like a Freudian slip. Sorry. She's so unique looking. She's so talented. I mean, the crying. It was really such a gorgeous film. Like, I could have watched 30 more minutes of it. I watched it 100 times. Like, you could feel the palpability of the toxicity. Like,
yes.
You could feel it all. The ending was so Taylor. You know, seeing Taylor with red hair, like, I gasped.
No, and then the ending where she's writing a book called All Too Well. Like, that book is My Dark Vanessa.
Well, the book is the song, but yes.
The book is the song, but, like, it's My Dark Vanessa. There's just so many parallels. It's great. Like, just, it's crazy.
No, I know. I mean, it's just been, like, a wild weekend. And to be kicked off with that, I can't say enough good things about it. First of all, the vibes, like, the autumnal vibes upstate, like, were just giving me life. That makeout moment between Dylan O'Brien and Sadie was just, like, steamy.
There were so many.
No, but, like, the main one in the beginning with, like, the 360 camera.
Yes,
like,
yes.
Steamy. When he dropped her hand at the dinner party, like, I audibly gasped. It was just a really good retelling of what happened. And in the song, like, it's the story of this weekend upstate. I think they stayed at Maggie Gyllenhaal's house. She lost her virginity. And that was it. Like,
I feel like I was there. Yeah. I completely get it. I hate Jake Gyllenhaal. I hate him.
Buys. And you know what? Like, it is just crazy that he's literally dating a 25-year-old and he's been dating her for 3 years.
Yeah, well, I was talking to Snitch last night and she was like, well, don't you think it's like, sucks for Jake Gyllenhaal that like all of a sudden like this thing that this one relationship from 10 years ago is now resurfacing and like he's the villain again. And I'm like, I feel like Taylor doesn't mind casting him in that light right now because like the behavior never changed and he's still dating. Actually, I mean, yes, his girlfriend now is 25, but the age gap is larger.
And they met when she was 22.
But he's 40, she's 15.
She's 15.
Oh my God, no. She's 25. There's 15 years between them. When it was Taylor and Jake, it was 10 years.
Yeah.
So it's just even crazier. And I don't think she minds just casting like a little bit of a spotlight on like
on the
this
weirdness.
Sort of behavior.
No, 100%.
That we've also been talking about. And I feel like it keeps coming up.
In Hollywood.
In Hollywood. And it's gross.
Yeah, 100%. It's so gross. No, yeah, I don't feel bad about it at all. Like he is very much a villain of this story. And you know what? When the album came out, like, Taylor obviously wasn't as big of a star as she is now. I don't feel like there was a lot of pressure put on Jake. And I'm so glad. You know, I can't thank Scott Borchetta enough because him selling her music without her permission, like, got us here. Now we're having this important conversation.
And when Red came out, I listened to it backwards and forwards all day. Like, I remember where in my life I was, etc. And I didn't even know the Jake Gyllenhaal-ness. And even I didn't know about, like, all this scarf stuff. Like,
oh, yeah.
This scarf stuff is, like...
It's developed over the years.
Yes, it has developed over the years. But, like, all of these... I couldn't have been a bigger fan of the album, and I didn't even know Jake Gyllenhaal was like the first love of hers. So like the spotlight is really on him now. Whereas when the album came out, it's like, oh, this is the album about Jake Gyllenhaal. Just like the last one was Joe Jonas or John Mayer. It wasn't like this one is not like the others.
So two things. One, when I got to the wedding, I was sitting next to my friend Keith, and he told me that he saw Maggie Gyllenhaal that day, and I was like so mad that I didn't hang out with him because I literally would have went up to her first.
Would you have?
No, of course not. I would have taken a picture and left. But it also makes me think, have you seen this John Mayer DM going around?
Yeah, he responded to one person.
He responded to a Swiftie who was like, I hope you choke. And he was like, I'm just curious, you know, sorry I'm answering, but like, do you actually want me to die? And she was like, oh man, nah, nah, like it's such a loser. And then she wrote like, just want to let you know, like, it's going to get worse for you when Speak Now Taylor's version comes out. And John saw it and didn't respond. Like, they were having a conversation and then he didn't respond to that. But it is going to be a thing, again, with John Mayer. Like, John Mayer is very much going to be going through what Jake Gyllenhaal's going through, because that song, Dear John, is just as bad, if not worse. Taylor was 19. I forget how old he was, but I think she feels like he, you know, took advantage of her, kind of, like, ghosted her. It's going to be very much the same energy for John Mayer. I'm curious to see if this like the energy will be kept up for John Mayer.
I know. I just feel like the energy is so strong on this one because of the short film that told us, it spelled out.
Painted quite a picture.
And also a 10-minute version of a breakup song.
Yeah, no,
which,
I mean,
by the way, the 10-minute version is everything.
Like, okay, so let's talk about SNL.
Has given me so much.
So on the plane yesterday, I had Succession downloaded and the All Too Well 10-minute version. That's about an hour and 10 minutes of content, and the flight is 5 hours. I watched, I swear to God, just on loop this performance. I was in awe. First of all, I cried the first time I was watching it. Could have been the plane, but I just really felt like it deserved a tear. What? First of all, she looks so good. Like, I love her with bangs, and I just think, like, I hope she keeps, I know they're bangs for the red era, but like, I hope she
was having bangs with Folklore and Evermore.
Side bangs, like, she didn't have like the straight, like, really fringe. Early 2000s fringe. Yeah, obsessed.
Okay,
the performance was so stunning. First of all, it is so hard to sing for 10 minutes like without getting out of breath. She sounded amazing. Mm-hmm. The guitar playing, the dancing, the hair flips, the so many subtle little set things, you know, talking about the autumn leaves falling down like pieces into place. Some leaves started to fall from the sky. Did you see that? Wind in my hair. A fan started to play and blow her hair. First fall of snow at the end of the new lyrics started to snow on the stage. A gorgeous scene was set with the film playing in the background. I can't even put into words like why I was so moved by the performance, but it was just like gorgeous. And like, love her, just like everyone in the world plays two songs on SNL. And like, she's just not.
Yeah, no, it was definitely a treat. I hadn't seen the short film before I watched SNL, so I was like really focused on not looking at the screen.
That sucks.
Yeah, but then I just went straight to the short film, which just opened up my mind. Mm-hmm. So it was a good experience nonetheless. But I've listened to the song so many times throughout the weekend just because of like it was on repeat mm-hmm. in the bridal suite. And it's so good, and it's I can't get it out of my head.
No, and now that we've been given like so much content, I can't even listen to the song. Like, if I'm listening to it, I have to either watch a short film or watch an SNL performance. Like, I need to be further stimulated because I know that like visual aids exist.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, agreed. So the new music video came out this morning. I haven't had it. I'm still processing All Too Well, so I am not ready for it.
Okay,
but maybe you can share.
Yeah, of course. What you saw. First of all, the bonus songs are so good. Like, I would say that the best bonus songs are "Think About Me" with Chris Stapleton, which is what the music video was this morning. "Message in a Bottle"
yes.
is like, it's giving Carly Rae Jepsen. Like, and you could really tell like she did write it in 2010 because that's like so the vibe. Mm-hmm. The music video, obviously starring Miles Teller and Kelly Teller, and directed by Blake Lively, was amazing.
What song is it for?
"Think About Me," the Chris Stapleton one.
I bet you think.
And so just premise is obviously like Miles Teller's getting married to Kelly, but he can't stop thinking about Taylor. And Taylor shows up at the wedding like in these looks, Jackie, like you will die. And slowly she starts to like paint the entire wedding red. It's like really smart and well thought out. Blake Lively did a great job. Like, it was gorgeously done. It's like this expensive wedding. She's wearing a wedding dress at one point. Like, Taylor's like, it was so I was so distracted by her beauty. Like, she's a gorgeous, but this is the best she's ever looked.
Yeah, she looks amazing. What a great casting. Okay, I need to prepare myself.
No, I was like shook. Like, him and like, they didn't kiss obviously, but like Miles and Taylor like dancing, touching foreheads. Like, it was giving me life.
Did Miles and Kelly kiss?
No. The whole point was like he was like not interested in Kelly. No, I know, which was like hella disrespectful. Margot texts me, she's like, was that not weird? I'm like, they're acting, but like it is.
Yeah. But it's also just like an honor, you know?
An honor to be cast, 100%. It was a beautiful music video. That song is so good. Chris Stapleton was not in the music video, which I was, like, kind of hoping for. Mm-hmm. But nonetheless, I have to watch it again. Like, there were so much grandiose beauty. Like, there was this gorgeous wedding. I didn't even get a chance to dissect it in the way that I need to. I only watched it once before this morning because I had to talk about it here today.
Got it. Okay, cool. I'm really excited to have that waiting for me.
And I'm not going to lie. Like, when Taylor announced Red, I was like, I'm so dying for 1989. Like, I was disappointed for sure. Like, and I take back everything I ever said, because these last 3 days have been like some of the best of my life musically. Like,
you know, they've also just been some of the best of life, yeah, period. And like, I think Red coming out on this Universal wedding weekend, mm-hmm, was just stunning. So perfect.
100%.
Perfectly timed.
Also, just quickly about SNL. So I did watch, I had the episode downloaded, and like, I actually couldn't finish it.
I didn't even try. I didn't try to start.
So they hired those three guys. They're not castmates, but they do like a video every season. I mean, every episode. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
So they had a video go viral on TikTok at the beginning of the pandemic. They're like these three guys. I cannot remember what they're called.
And they're not the new featured castmates.
No, hold on. Let me just.
They're not the new, like.
No.
Okay.
Just give me 1 second.
Okay.
Taylor's Nation posted them. I'm sorry. Like, people probably know what I'm talking about and like want to kill me.
I've never even heard of this.
Okay, just give me a second. Mm-hmm. What the fuck are their names? Hang on. I bet you think... Oh, here. Okay. They are... Please Don't Destroy. They're like this trio. You know these guys? So they do a video, and it's not live. They do like a recorded skit.
Oh, they did the... Hard seltzer one for...
Yes.
Okay.
So...
For Kim.
Yeah, for Kim. So they're three guys. I don't know if they started on TikTok, but they had huge success on TikTok during the pandemic. And then SNL, like, eventually hired them to make a video per episode. They're not in...
Okay, that's a cool concept.
Yeah, and they're, like, the best thing on SNL right now. Like, every one of their videos just, like, hit. Their skit was the one with Pete Davidson and Taylor. Like, it was obviously the only one people are talking about. And I just feel like they need to lean into this more, because SNL is, like, it's really atrocious.
Got it. I didn't know that that's what those guys were doing there.
Yeah, they're great.
Cool.
They're like a little trio who like make videos. And I was like, oh, good for SNL finally like knowing, like having a good idea.
Yeah.
And so they hired them, but they don't use them enough. Like, they're hilarious.
Yeah.
So I forget what point I was making, but I just wanted to shout them out.
Do you enjoy the sketch with Taylor Swift and Pete Davidson?
I did. Like, it was stupid, but Taylor was just like being gorgeous, giving us life. And like, I was alive, you know? Mm-hmm. And she was being like very sexy. You know, she's not really like that, like, at all. She's very, like, kid-friendly, conservative queen. But she was wearing this, like, little sparkly number, and she was, like, being, like, a sexy pop star, like, dancing on all the cans. It was actually crazy.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah. I didn't even hear about the
like,
premise.
Like, body rolls, like, lip touching. Like, it was very provocative, very not Taylor.
Oh, I gotta go watch it.
Yeah, I mean, the episode was absolute trash.
Yeah, no, not the episode, just the sketch.
No, except there was one thing on Weekend Update, that new girl, Sarah, I want to say her name is Sherman, I'm sorry if that's not correct, she, like, had a moment, and, like, she bought herself, like, 5 years on SNL. It was amazing.
What was she being?
She was being herself. Colin Jost was like, let's talk to your new castmate, like, see how it's going, and she was being so crazy and so funny, like, it was, like, showcasing all of her strong suits. She, like, read everything perfectly. She didn't, like, stutter over the lines. She was amazing. Like, I feel like she's, like, probably on a high right now, because, like, it's all people are talking about because the episode was trash.
Oh, that is so funny. Okay, yeah. Maybe I'll check that out, too.
I was happy for her.
Okay, let's get into our next story, the other musical event of the weekend.
Adele.
Adele, One Night Only, last night, CBS, Oprah, the Griffith Observatory, and every A-lister you could possibly think
of. That was surprising. Like, the audience just being filled with, like, Drake, Leonardo DiCaprio, Selena Gomez, Lizzo, Oprah, yeah. Obviously.
Yeah, no, like, every time they showed a group of people, like, there was, like, a celebrity and friends. Like, Nicole Richie was there, Melissa McCarthy. Like,
so cool.
It just went on and on. James Corden obviously had to present himself. They're really good friends, though.
Was he, like, a part of
no,
the
show? No,
oh,
no.
He was just sitting.
He just got, like, some FaceTime. Okay. I think Ellen was there.
Yeah, I heard she was, too.
So it's, like, it was a really cool star-studded event. And it was really, like, you can't just, like, be a thirst monster and make your way into this thing. Like, I think you had to, like, you have
be
to be
invited, handpicked.
A friend of Adele, yeah. Or, like, a serious A-lister. So
that was cool. I liked that little part of it.
Yeah. She sat down with Oprah for an interview interspersed between old songs and new songs. She's talking about her divorce. She's talking about her new lease on life.
Her weight loss.
She's been through her weight loss, her new relationship. She said it's the first time she's ever loved herself in a relationship, and that, you know, bodes well for that's really what they say. You can't love someone else until you love yourself.
I also heard, like, when she met her boyfriend for the first time, it was a business meeting.
She thought it was a business meeting. And I'm telling you, like, these things can get confusing.
100%.
Especially when you're all in the industry.
So I think one of the most, not polarizing, but talked about moments was when her and Oprah were going back and forth about her weight loss and how there's been, like, a really negative reaction to it on social media and just, like, for fans. Like, there's been, like, backlash, which is stupid. And I think she had such a unique, kind of, like, brazen answer. Because in this day and age, like, you don't say shit like that. But I actually really appreciated her directness. Can you read exactly what she said?
Yeah, wait. Let me pull it up.
Actually, I know where it is if you want me to do it.
Yeah, just because I have the quotes about her relationship up.
Okay, so basically Oprah was relating to her own story. Like, over the years, you know, Oprah has lost a ton of weight. Mm-hmm. And she also gets, like, backlash for it over the years. So she brought it up to Adele. And Adele's answer was this. Sorry, give me 1 second.
Take your time.
Here. She said, I was Bozzy Pop. Nope, that wasn't it. Sorry.
She was Bozzy Paws.
Adele said, I was body positive then and I'm body positive now. It's not my job to validate how people feel about their bodies. I feel bad, but I feel bad that it's made anyone feel horrible about themselves, but that's not my job. Adele on some fans' negative reaction to her weight loss, which I thought was really interesting because, first of all, yeah, like, the fact that anyone even wants to form an opinion on whether Adele gains or loses weight is, like, beyond stupid. Like, can like, celebrities have anything? Like, they can't even, like, control what they put in their mouths, like, without someone having something to say about it. And two, it's this larger conversation about, like, role models. And I think a lot of people were talking about it, like, with Khloe Kardashian. Because, like, setting the beauty standard, yada, 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 when it's, like, it's not fair to put that on one person. Like, okay, like, if you want to, you know, find confidence in yourself, and Adele, you know, who you think looks similar to you, has confidence in herself, like, that gives, that's lovely, but it's also not Adele's job to make sure that you can feel good about yourself. Yeah. It's just not fair to put that on one person. She's like, oh, I could barely get my life together. I can't help other people.
Definitely. I mean, I think it's, you know, of course it's frustrating for celebrities. They can't, like, change something about themselves or live their lives without us talking about it, but, like, that's part of being a celebrity. Yes. So to have someone, like, lose about 100 pounds, like, of course there's going to be talk about it. The fact that the talk could be, like, negative and, like, you left us or like, people being upset is so silly. So I'm really glad her take was just, like, I don't have time for this.
But I do have one thing to say.
And she really didn't, like, breathe. Like, for any person, another artist, they could make this their whole
thing,
mission statement, like, you know, taking down the haters.
Right.
Like, obviously, Oprah had to ask the question because it's something so many people are talking about. But Adele was literally like, I did what I did.
And yeah, and she's not explaining
what I said.
She's not explaining it.
And she's not explaining it.
Yeah. No, I will say, like, as a chubby girl myself, like, I do, and by the way, I totally get it. Like, when there's, like, someone who gets famous at, like, the weight that they were at, and then they lose weight, there's always, like, a little bit of, like, oh, come on, like, be that with us, you know? But I would never, like, say that, you know, right. Like, it's, like, obviously disappointing, but I don't think they're a bad person ever. If Adele feels great, she looks great, she's healthy, like, amazing.
Yeah.
But, like, of course. No, I'm like, no, like, come on.
Yeah. No, but that's just not her job.
And, like, no, it's not her job.
She's got to live her life.
100%. And I support totally. So, I don't agree with people who have negative reactions, but, like, I feel it, you know?
Yeah, yeah, just keep that shit to yourself.
Yeah, of course.
You know, I think that's the moral of the story. But she looked amazing. She was singing the hits. She gave us
amazing.
Some new songs as well. Hold On.
Wine.
Love Is a Game. Get Over Myself. Something like that. They were all so good. Just so Adele. And it was really a beautiful evening. It was making me think, like, what other artist do something like this and just, like, command...
I'm going to say something crazy.
I've never been to the Griffith Observatory. I only know it from La La Land. But then the couple that got engaged, did you see that?
I saw that someone got engaged, yeah.
Oh my God. It was really cute because she was singing To Make You Feel My Love. So that's the love song. That's the song that plays at weddings. There aren't that many Adele songs that play at weddings because they're all breakup songs. And this guy had brought his girlfriend for a picnic down in the park, like, below on the bottom of the mountain, and then he blindfolded her and put on noise canceling earphones and brought her up to the Griffith Observatory. And by the time she took it all off, he's standing there proposing, and there is an audience.
That's but insane.
And you can't see Adele. You just, it feels like she's on, like, some sort of sound stage, and there's, like, an audience and her boyfriend's proposing, and it's, like, so overwhelming. I'm so overwhelmed for this girl.
Yeah,
like,
no, that's, oh my gosh, sensory overload.
Then Adele comes out. I'm so fucking overwhelmed for this girl. Then she starts looking at the, she goes to take her seat. She's going to enjoy the rest of the concert.
Oh, and then who's sitting around
Lizzo
her?
Lizzo's sitting next to her. Melissa McCarthy gives her a glass of champagne. I am just like, this is
too much.
This girl's going to go into shock. Yeah. Like, it was too much. And it's like, she also just got engaged. She's got to text her friends and family. Right. And then she's at an Adele concert.
Right.
And she's like, it was the craziest thing.
That's insane.
I've never, like, I was like having an out-of-body experience for her.
That is actually crazy.
It was too much.
I feel that. 100%.
Like, someone could have had, like I would have gone
into... She could have had a heart attack.
Yeah, no, I would have gone into shock.
Yeah.
There's such thing as too much surprise.
100%.
I was...
Too much of a good thing.
I was so overwhelmed.
But back to what you were saying.
And like, because no one knew that this Adele thing was happening or being filmed.
Right, it was like a secret concert.
So it's like, where all these people came out for my engagement.
No,
like,
that's insane. It's crazy. But really quickly, like, back to what you were saying about, like, no other artist. Mm-hmm. I really feel like everything Adele does is, like, so elevated, so classy. Like, you can't even compare it to any other artist. She's, like, really, this is going to sound crazy, but, like, the Frank Sinatra of our generation.
It was giving, like, Sinatra vibes.
Old Hollywood glamour. Like, she is that. I'm telling you.
No, I agree. I had the same thought. I will say that the whole, you know, I would give the whole evening like a 99 out of 100.
And what's the one from?
The one is because it really should have been at Buckingham Palace.
Totally.
And that's just something I have to live with. I mean, if you never told me that that was a rumor going around, it would have been 100 out of 100.
I just want to say, Dumois has since posted saying like the rumor is still very much at play and that it might be Taylor Swift who did it. Somebody did record something at Buckingham Palace. It just wasn't Adele.
Okay. And then my other thought and about Buckingham Palace, and it was an Oprah Sunday night extravaganza. I was like, where are Harry and Meghan? Like, they should have been there.
Yeah.
You know, because it was like the creme de la creme.
Yep.
And they're a friend of Oprah's and like...
They live in LA.
They did the last Sunday night and it was just like...
They should have passed the baton.
Yeah, and they're British.
Yeah.
Well, he's British and she's British.
Yeah.
So I was just like, I wonder if they didn't get the invite.
You know, I liked the concept of the whole thing that they did for Adele because I think what a lot of people who just listen to Adele's music and, like, don't know her really is she's very funny. Like, super, super funny. And if you go to her concert, she talks a lot between the songs and she's hysterical. So I loved that she was able to showcase all of her talents.
Yes. It was a great forum. It was a great way to spend a Sunday night. It was just a great piece of content. We don't get really good stuff most of the time.
No, even though recently it seems like we've been getting a lot.
We have been getting a lot. It's the time of year. Like,
we're spoiled rotten.
We are. Kelly Clarkson has a special. Annie Live is happening. Like, you guys, it's
Annie
all
Live, please.
It's all happening.
I've definitely lost my joie de vivre for Annie Live. I can't
No, but
lie.
Now, like, my joie de vivre for Annie Live is, like, in the joke of it, you know?
Of course, yes.
And then, of course, like, when the time comes, like, we're going to have a ball.
A ball, like a live streaming party.
Like, it's going to be hysterical.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to be a part of something. Last night felt like we were a part of something. And I'm so happy for Adele.
And you know what?
For such a private person, still, you know, we don't know what happened, like, in her marriage. But she said that she was miserable, like, not happy in her life, didn't feel like she was living life. And she needed to become, like, a happier, better version of herself, ultimately, like, so her son could know her as that person. And but then she also said her and her, like, she said that her ex-husband, Simon, like, that he saved her life, that if it wasn't, like, for him coming in at the time that he did, that perhaps she could have gotten, like, carried away with the fame and success and gone down a different path,
a more destructive
path. And so she's so grateful for him. She said he's her best friend. She would trust him with her life. He lives across the street from
her. Wait,
what? Yeah. No, it's like... no bad blood. So I don't, I mean, maybe there, like, things happened, but there, she only had, like, really nice things to say about him. She just wasn't happy in her relationship with him.
Okay. I mean, that's great for the kid. That's ideal. I'm shocked.
No, it was shocking. Cause at first I was like, oh, he's like the big, like, we weren't even saying his name. I was like, you know, he should not be named. What did he do?
Right.
And no, they actually are really good co-parents.
Well, that makes me feel good. Cause she did give him $70 million. So if you hate someone, like, that's so painful. That hurts. But to know, like, you love this man, you still respect him, he's the father of your child, you're happy to give him the 70
you
mil.
You were happy for the time that you spent with him. Like,
that's great.
Yeah. No, so for such a private person, we got a glimpse into what she's been dealing with. Still not like we get with other celebrities where we, like, know what color underwear you're wearing every day. But it was cool to see our girl. Like, you know, she doesn't share much.
Yeah, she doesn't.
So it was
That's
good.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of today's episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Is there something interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals? Well, BetterHelp is here and they will assess you with your needs, match you with your own licensed professional therapist where you can start communicating in under 48 hours. It is not a crisis line and it's not self-help. BetterHelp is professional therapy and it's all done securely online where you can log into your account anytime, send a message to your therapist, and you get a timely and thoughtful response. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions so you won't ever have to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room as you do with traditional therapy. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches so they make it easy and free to change therapists if needed. It's more affordable than traditional offline therapy and financial aid is available. So we have a special offer for the Morning Toast listeners. If you want to get 10% off your first month, go to betterhelp.com/toast and join the over 2 million people who have taken charge of their mental health. That's betterhelp.com/toast, betterhelp.com/toast.
Thank you, Claudia.
It's a pleasure.
Our next story about another musical queen, Britney Spears, is free of her conservatorship. After 13 years of living under a conservatorship, the 39-year-old pop icon has been granted her independence. L.A. Superior Court Judge Brenda Penny ruled Friday that the conservatorship that has controlled the pop icon's life for the last 13 years should be terminated. Judge Penny agreed that the arrangement should end without Spears having to undergo additional mental evaluations, but the current conservator of the singer's estate will continue to work to settle the ongoing financial concerns related to the case.
This is so crazy. You guys,
Britney, headline, Britney has been freed.
Hashtag freed Britney.
Freed.
So, you know what? When I saw this, like, obviously I was so happy for her, but it really kind of put into, like, because I'm thinking, like, how did we get here? What's so crazy about this whole movement is that, like, literally it was done by her fans. Like, I don't know if there wasn't, this movement wouldn't exist without, like, Britney's fans and without, like, the pressure that they put on. They all went to every hearing, standing outside the court. Like, I don't think we would have gotten this result, and it definitely wouldn't.
Or in this time frame.
Wouldn't have happened as fast as it happened.
Yeah.
So I just think that's, like, I think there's so much that's so toxic about, like, fandoms and, like, celebrity culture. But, like, this is, like, a good example of, like, it working for good, you know?
Yes, I agree. I'm so excited to see what she does now. I hope that she has the time of her life.
Yeah.
Does everything that she ever wanted to do. And whatever's next for her, whether it's music, whether it's just, like, vacation, whether it's babies, like, live your life.
I think she's probably going to, like, take major time off, like, vacationing. I think she's going to get married. Like, I think she's just needs to adjust to, like, being able to, like, live with free will.
Mm-hmm.
And I really hope there's some sort of book or movie that she sanctions, that she writes, she's involved with, that tells the story of what actually happened. Because I'm sure there's so much that went on behind closed doors that, like, we can't even imagine.
Yeah, agreed. So happy
for her.
So happy. Some great news.
And it's so nice to see literally everyone celebrating, like, posting their pictures. And Lady Gaga posted something so nice. Donatella Versace, like, literally everyone just posted, like, everyone's just so Team Britney.
Over the last few months, we've had these, like, small wins that, like, we're just, like, whether it was Jamie off or, like, we're celebrating, like, all these things. And, like, now it's just, it's the big win.
Yeah.
You know?
And
we can put, like, this behind us.
Well, I'm, like, so curious what happens now, like, with her family. Like, that's where I'm, like, I have the most curiosity.
Well, that's Britney's choice.
Yeah. But I think she's made it, like, abundantly clear. Like, she doesn't fuck with any of them.
Yeah, but you never know.
Yeah.
So time heals all wounds.
I guess. Yeah. These are tough. These are wounds. They're like gashes.
Big ass wounds.
Yeah.
Okay, are you ready for next story? Some more happy news?
Yeah.
Taylor Lautner is engaged to his longtime girlfriend, Taylor Dome, making her the next
Taylor Lautner. First of all, Taylor Strecker posted the funniest Instagram story. Taylor Strecker and Taylor Donahue got engaged on the same day that, like, 2 years ago.
11-11.
That Taylor Lautner and Taylor Dome got engaged.
So 11-11 is a big day for Taylor's.
It's also like the red TV day, you know?
Yeah, but it's also Make-A-Wish Day. And he said, just like that, all of my wishes came true.
By the way, I saw the funniest TikTok. It was like, how Taylor Lautner's sleeping knowing that the only song about him, Back to December, is actually an apology to him. Like, he's going to get, when Speak Now comes out, like, everyone's going to be Team Taylor Lautner. Whereas, like, every album so far is, like, annihilating Joe Jonas, annihilating Jake Gyllenhaal. We're definitely going to be annihilating John Mayer at some point, and perhaps Harry Styles. So
Harry Styles. I've been trying to think of all of her relationships and, like, who were the standouts, because...
Okay, let's just go album by album. Red was, you know what's so funny? Red is mostly Jake Gyllenhaal, but it's also a lot of Connor Kennedy. But I think, like, when you see what she went through with Jake Gyllenhaal, you're not really curious as to why she dated someone, like, not that famous and younger.
Yes, of course.
She needed to be in control finally. No,
it's called, you know, U-turn.
Yeah, right. She made a K-turn. So that's Red. I think, obviously, Fearless is Joe Jonas. But again, whatever Joe Jonas did to her, like, wasn't... He was just like a bad boyfriend. He wasn't a bad person. Where it's like with the Jake Gyllenhaal stuff, like the gaslighting, the age, like that's actually a lot deeper.
The dishes.
And that's why I love the fact that Sophie and Joe like are just riding with Taylor. Like they came to see her at SNL. Like
yes, how yes. Iconic. Really cute. Oh yeah, and so did Selena Gomez, who's like my new favorite person.
Jackie, did you see the picture
of her? She was also at Adele.
Did you see the picture of her walking into the Adele thing with a purse, and sticking out of her purse was 3 Snickers?
No,
obsessed.
I didn't.
Like I can't believe I used to like really clown on Selena Gomez. Like I take back everything I said. I'm so obsessed with everything she's been giving. Like her obsession with Taylor, Only Murders. Obsessed.
Rare Beauty. Like every
Rare Beauty.
Everything is everything. So good. Okay, wait, I have a list of her ex-boyfriends. Okay. I'll start with Joe Jonas.
Okay.
Then Lucas Till, who was in the You Belong With.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like we went on a few dates.
They say like some Fearless shit is about him, but like it's not important.
Okay. Taylor Lautner.
Back to December.
Mm-hmm. And the movie Valentine's Day.
Yes.
John Mayer.
Obviously, Dear John.
They say
John.
It's Dear John, Ours, Superman, The Story
Wait,
of Us.
Wait, slow down. Hold on. Say it again.
Dear John.
Yeah, obviously.
Ours.
Oh, my God. I like the gap between your teeth. Does John Mayer have a gap in his teeth?
On my way to find out. John Mayer.
I used to sing that song to Peter Krause.
Tooth gap.
And I like the gap between your teeth. I like the riddles that you speak.
Okay.
Actually, that makes sense. Any snide remarks from my father about your tattoos will be ignored.
You could say.
'Cause my heart is yours.
I think maybe on the bottom row, but he smiles hiding in the bottom row. Okay, that's a mystery. I need to do some.
Okay.
I need to get my magnifying glass. Okay, back to the list. Ours, Superman.
Okay. Superman is obviously about John Mayer because everyone says Ben looks like John Mayer and Ben also looks like Superman. I think that's like the point that they all look like Clark Kent, right?
Yeah.
Not to make everything about me.
The Story of Us.
Well, I never really thought about who The Story of Us was about, but I actually think that's incorrect. But
and I Knew You Were Trouble.
Oh.
Just something to think about.
Yeah, I thought I Knew You Were Trouble was about Harry Styles.
Next, Corey Monteith.
Yeah, so actually...
Mine.
Yes, and people are now really speculating about some of the Vault songs on Red that might be about Corey Monteith.
Okay, and this TaylorSwiftFandom.com says that they dated for less than a month.
You know, it was like a very like small blimp on her radar, but I think it was still like a very meaningful relationship.
Okay, next, Adam Young, not an ex. He's from Owl City.
Yes, Enchanted.
Enchanted, which is the most beautiful love song. And wait, this article says she never dated him, although he did state his interest in her.
Did you see, you know that when she released this song, he found out it was about him. She met the lead singer of Owl City, wrote the song Enchanted because she was just so like mesmerized by him. They never dated. She just like had a night where she was like obsessed with him and wrote this most gorgeous song. When he found out, he was so honored. He recorded his own version of Enchanted and was like, I was enchanted to meet Taylor.
No.
And
no.
She and Jackie.
Nope.
She ghosted him. She never responded.
That's horrible.
It was the most cringy
write your own
cover.
Fucking song.
No. I think he did actually write another song about Taylor, but like Taylor kind of made the first move and then he like embarrassed himself and shat the bed and she like ran away.
Shat the bed. Okay, next, Jake Gyllenhaal. Mm-hmm. Did you know that he reportedly spent $160,000 to have her flown over on a private jet for a date?
To where?
I don't know. That's what the fandom says.
TaylorSwiftFandom.com?
Yeah. It must be true. And so We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together.
Yeah.
State of Grace. All Too Well.
State of Grace. Okay.
The Moment I Knew.
Yeah. And also Begin Again, no?
They didn't say Begin Again.
On a Wednesday. Okay, I'm going to stop singing. Sorry.
Next, Connor Kennedy.
Yeah.
Begin Again.
No way. That's wrong.
That's what the fandom says.
Starlight.
And then Starlight was written about his grandparents.
Yeah.
Harry Styles.
Style, obviously.
Out of the Woods and Style.
Yes.
Also rumored that Wonderland may be about him.
Wonderland is about Diana Agron.
Okay.
She has an Alice tattoo, Alice in Wonderland. Like, it's obviously about Diana Agron.
Okay. Calvin Harris.
Oh, yeah.
It's just so crazy because at the time it was like her most serious relationship. And now it's like, oh, they didn't even know each other.
I forgot that you existed.
No, literally. Yeah. It's like a joke.
Yeah, it's a joke.
I Did Something Bad and Getaway Car are rumored to be about him.
Well, Getaway Car is about three people. It's about Tom Hiddleston, Calvin Harris.
Is it?
And Taylor.
Got it.
And also, I forgot that you existed.
Really got off unscathed.
Well, yeah. In terms of songs?
In terms of songs, because she skipped that album.
No, but also because, like, he didn't do anything to her. He was, like, nice and he liked her.
And, like, wore that shirt.
He did whatever she said. Like, yeah. He was, like, literally a mule.
But there's got to be a song about that, too. No, totally. If she could write a song about meeting Adam Young.
Right, right, right.
She could write a song about the way she felt when he wore that shirt.
Totally.
Was she pro shirt?
100%.
100%. So it's just really interesting. And I don't know who out of all these guys I would say was, like, the, you know, the one that got away or something. But now it's becoming clear, like, Jake Gyllenhaal is so much more than I thought he was.
And it's also crazy because the relationship only lasted 3 months, but it was, like, so toxic.
But, like, Calvin Harris lasted, like, a year and it meant nothing.
And we, like, don't even, she doesn't even, like, claim him.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's just funny. And I remember when Tom Hiddleston and her started dating, it was like, I thought these two were going to get married. I thought that they were a match made in heaven. And then poof, broke up.
Yeah. Well, you know what it is? Like, can you imagine just, like, hooking up with someone, but it's like, you're such a star, like, it becomes the biggest deal in the world. So we associate it with a relationship, and it's like, maybe you hung out with this person 3 times.
Yeah, no, but, like, Tom Hiddleston and Calvin Harris, like, those were months.
No, Tom Hiddleston was not months. Tom Hiddleston was, like, a month.
Really?
Yes. Like, he literally, I remember there was so much hype. He, like, went back to Australia, wherever he lives. He lives in an apartment building. He went out for a run. There was, like, fans and cameras, and he spoke to the camera crew, and Lori Taylor dumped him the next day. She's so funny. Like,
that's so funny.
Yeah.
Okay, well, our fifth and final story is a little more romance news.
Okay.
Lindsay Lohan and Cord Overstreet are totally in love in a new Netflix Christmas film. You guys, this was the news that I did not know I needed. After hiatus, the 35-year-old actress will be joining Glee star Cord Overstreet. Because of Glee.
Gloining. I love to gloin. Sorry.
Okay, and Adele's Bossy Posse.
Wow, your memory's so good.
It took me a few seconds. Yes. This pregnancy brain is slowing real. Me down.
Yeah.
After a hiatus, the 35-year-old will be joining Glee star Cord Overstreet in a brand new Netflix rom-com set for release next year. What?
Next year? Oh, well, I guess it's in November. But, like, January or, like, July?
No. Like,
it's holiday?
It's got to be. And we have promo pics already. This can't be waiting till
what
next website? Year. This is New York Post.
I don't believe it.
I believe that this is coming out this holiday season. And if it's not, just, like, don't talk to me.
Because no, totally.
What a fucking waste.
Even though I do have to say, like, the Netflix's, you know, spin on Hallmark holiday movies, like, are not great. It's not their best thing.
So we're at a weird point. Here's something weird happened, you know, because Hallmark was doing it mm-hmm. better than anyone. And then everyone copied them. And instead of rising to the occasion, Hallmark kind of just was like, no, we're going to make them shittier.
I disagree.
No, we're going to make them faster. We're going to make them, you know, in literally 90 degree heat. Like, we're going to make one a week. Like, and I feel like the Hallmark quality, like, went down just as its popularity was rising.
No, I feel like they just stayed consistent.
The quality went up on Netflix and everywhere else, but it, like, doesn't have that Hallmark heart.
No,
they need to merge. Because what one has, the other doesn't.
Yeah,
you know, they use the same coat in every Hallmark movie. Like, get a new fucking coat. The budget is like $10.
Yeah, but that's what it's always been, and, like, no, we've loved it.
The quality has changed.
Remember when we were interviewing, like, Becca
it
Tobin?
Was always, like, mindless Christmas festivities, but, like, the mindlessness has gone to new lows.
Or do you think, like, maybe you've just evolved?
No, I don't think so. I actually don't think so.
Okay.
I think that they just, like, started churning them out faster, harder, more, and, like, they lost some that spark. Honestly, right. It's a Hallmark movie about a company that got too greedy.
And so the CEO leaves the big city.
Yeah. He has to go hometown. Find the Christmas spirit again.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. No, the CEO would not be a woman. Sorry. Him, not her.
Has to go find the Christmas spirit to take back to corporate headquarters so that the movies could have quality once again.
100%. I love that.
But I will be watching Lindsay Lohan and Cord Overstreet.
Yeah, of course.
For sure.
Of course.
That has the makings of, like, success.
What was that Cord Overstreet movie we watched?
The one with Olivia Culpo?
Oh, yes.
I think it was called The One with Olivia Culpo.
It was, and by the way,
it was called, like, Swingerville. Like, swing. Yeah. Just go with, like.
They, like, made dog clothing. Where did we watch it? Were we in Utah?
No, I had you guys over for a watch party because we were, like, so excited to watch Olivia Culpo on the big screen.
I actually got to watch Olivia Culpo in real life this weekend. And can I just say, she's a queen amongst queens.
I saw her out on the dance floor in like the background of someone's video, and she was just like everything.
I actually like couldn't talk to her. It was like annoying because she's so fucking beautiful, but she's literally like the nicest girl. Like, I'm just like obsessed.
Yeah, it's the movie was called The Swing of Things.
Oh, you were right.
I had the vibe.
Right? That was the last thing I saw Court Overstreet in, obviously before Glee.
Yeah, no, I'm here for all of it.
Okay, well,
I'd love to see Olivia Culpo in a Christmas movie.
Yes, give the girl free a film. Idea. Constantly. We're going to go a little into TV recap, which is brought to you by Pendulum. The science is clear. A healthy gut microbiome with good bacteria that helps that help our bodies process food is key to a healthy lifestyle. But now we're learning about the connection between your gut microbiome health and type 2 diabetes. Pendulum Glucose Control is the first and only probiotic that's diagnosed to manage A1C and blood glucose levels through the health of your microbiome. Over time, people with type 2 diabetes lose the gut bacteria that help digest fiber and manage our blood glucose levels. And so for those with type 2 diabetes, diet and exercise alone are often not enough to manage it. The best approach is to emphasize diet, exercise, and a healthy gut microbiome. The connection has been widely recognized by leading scientists studying diabetes. Pendulum's team of scientists, doctors, and innovators isolated the unique strains of beneficial gut bacteria that help people with type 2 diabetes manage their blood sugar levels. They've isolated one keystone strain that is now available for purchase. Pendulum is the only place to find this highly sought-after strain. Take control of your glucose levels today. Try Pendulum Glucose Control for 90 days, and if you're not satisfied with your levels, you'll get your money back. That's PendulumLife.com to find out more, and use the promo code TMT for 20% off your first bottle of membership. Again, that is PendulumLife.com, PendulumLife.com, promo code TMT, as in the morning toast.
Awesome. Okay, so first Real Housewives of Potomac, which was really completely overshadowed by all of the other programming from last night. We had some like key arguments, some key moments. There was a bit of a rapprochement.
But no Nicki Minaj.
No Nicki Minaj. Okay. She's on part four and last night was part two. Four. So oh my God. Next week is the husbands. Everybody just like don't get too excited.
Okay.
Karen and Giselle had a lovely moment.
You know, I'm like ready for them to bury the hatchet.
And when Karen saw Giselle, I saw her, like, how Karen feels is how I feel. And what they were saying was, like, they were trying to get through to Candace, like, you are going to a place that is unacceptable.
Yeah.
Like, Karen and Giselle shade each other for 6 years now. They cut each other pretty deep, but they don't go to the bone. Mm-hmm. And you are passing that line. Like, so she obviously did not receive any of this.
No. So I was, like, really starting to become more keen on Giselle. When in part one, she was like trying to tell Candace, like, you're the problem here. Like, yeah. And so I'm very open to Giselle.
Yeah, no, I was very open. Andy asked them to say one nice thing about each other and they were really gushing. It wasn't like a painful, like,
you're nice.
Yeah. It was like Giselle was actually got emotional. She was like, she said to Karen that Karen was so nice to her girls when she came to the house. And that meant so much to Giselle because like she popped up. Nice. Gave them, oh my God. She was like emotional, and Karen was saying that Giselle's an amazing mother, and it was really so beautiful. Of course, like, Andy has to ruin it by saying, will you give each other a hug? Like,
no.
I don't need, and I didn't need Garcelle and Brenna to hug. Mm-hmm. I do not need Karen.
And we're not children. That's what you do, like, when you're in the playground and you slap someone.
100%. Like, it makes it, like, so phony, and it's like, we're really not there yet, so, like, everything about this was genuine until I had to get up and give you a hug.
I just want to say, like, if there is a world in which Karen and Giselle can not only coexist, but, like, join forces, like, that is an unstoppable duo.
And it's just so crazy how I am really, you know, Housewives is always a journey. And 1 week you're with someone and the next. And how I'm turning a corner on Giselle just because, like, Karen gave me the okay.
Also Robin.
The way that Robin, like, reacts physically and verbally to everything to Wendy says, like, is how I feel. And Wendy, who at the beginning of the season was our champion, is probably my LVP right now.
She's shitting the bed for sure.
She is the LVP of the reunion. Like, she just...
Is that Lisa Vanderpump or least valuable player?
The least valuable player.
You never know.
You it could be one in the same sometimes. Yeah, no, she's... it's just not it for me. Like, the energy is
she's
all
not
off.
Giving what she thinks it's giving.
Not at all.
It's giving cringe, and I think she thinks it's giving, like, serve, you know?
Yeah.
It's not. It's giving, like, painfully cringeworthy.
Someone asked one of the viewer questions was if she rehearses her TikTok careers. Yeah. And she like, even went into, like, another one.
Rehearsed. Like, rehearsed read.
But she was like, I take on the White House press secretary. Oh, like,
God. She's getting worse and worse.
No, and they were saying, the girls were trying to explain to her how she's so different from the season before. Like,
and
how,
I'm sorry, you know what? Now that I'm anti-Wendy, like, she is.
No, she is. Because she was like, well, I went toe-to-toe with Ashley that first time at, like, Monique's lake house. And they were like, yeah, but what you were saying was, like, you were telling her to call you a doctor. Now it's like, TikTok the clock.
No, so, it's true.
It was just so crazy how, like, in some instances, like, I'm all, like, with someone. And then other times, like, I'm really, the only person I agree with all the time is Karen. So.
No, Potomac is a really interesting franchise in the sense that I don't have, like, deep-rooted loyalty. Like, I'm a fair weather fan. Like, I'll go with, like, it really does change every season where it's, like, certain franchises, like New York, like, if I hate you, I hate you. If I like you, I like you. And I'll defend you even if you're wrong.
Yeah.
But I really find myself in Potomac, like, just siding with who's ever right in the moment.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I think that's also just a hallmark of being a newer franchise. Like, yeah. Maybe I would say I'm getting to a point where, like, Karen can do no wrong in my eyes.
I agree.
And that's just, you know, having seen her do so much right over the last 6 years.
Yeah.
So that is what it is. She's earned her stripes. I also love Ashley Darby. But, you know, I always have.
Obsessed. Also, I feel that way about Salt Lake City. Like, I don't have, like, deep-rooted stance. Every week it's like, I like Lisa, I hate Lisa. Like,
me too. The way that I'm feeling about, like, last season, I just felt like Lisa was all wrong at the reunion. I've never seen a more wrong person go so hard.
Whitney had their bad weather. Spin the truth. Destroy.
I've never seen a more wrong person go so hard on being wrong.
You have to respect, like, her literally not backing down and being so wrong.
But this season, she's at the top for me. And 100%. I can't even explain why. We need to talk about, okay, so then Salt Lake City was on after Potomac. Anyways, it was a good episode. A little frustrating. I felt like, you know, Candace slow. Is still not getting it.
Potomac
was slow. Sorry. But, you know, it's still good reunion stuff. And next week should be good with the husbands. And then Nikki will come save us
all. The husbands do really bring it. Like, they're like, remind me of Jersey. Like, they really elevate the show.
Yeah. Yeah. So it'll be good. Now, Salt Lake City was what Andy called, like, top five episodes of Housewives. And it really was so interesting, like, just to watch them. First, the SWAT team leaves, and they decide they're still going to go to bail.
Please don't spoil it. Like, I really want to watch it.
Okay.
But I did see a few clips. And what's with Meredith in the bathtub?
So Meredith,
she's acting weird.
She's acting weird, but, like, so here's what I think. First of all, she's had her, you know, eyes on Jen for a while. Like, she never fully forgave her, obviously. She's the type of person that's like, you can't just, like, say whatever the fuck you want and I'm gonna, like, accept you back like Heather.
Yeah.
You know, just because I want to be your friend or we're on a show together. Like, yeah. Meredith is a very much a real person. So I think that, you know, to her this feels like karma. But in the previews for next week's episode, Meredith says that she hired a private investigator. So I think that
she hired a private investigator that day or before Jen got arrested?
Like, it was just a preview.
Okay.
So my theory is that based on some of the things that had happened with Jen that Meredith shares in last night's episode that I won't spoil for you, that she hired a private investigator to see what was going on. And all of this found its way to her. You know, this wasn't new information. So when she is in the bath just, like, relishing injustice being served, she literally has a glass of champagne behind her, like, it was definitely, you know, not the way that everyone else was reacting. Because
no, and it makes it seem like she did call the feds. Like,
but, like, that's just really not how it works. Like, you don't just snap your fingers and Homeland Security and the NYPD show up.
No, I agree. I actually don't think it had anything to do with Heather.
And, everyone's like, who tipped them off that we were at Beauty Lab? The way that they wound up picking up Jen was from a ping on her phone. They tracked her down on the side of the road. So they were tracking her. Like, this is, if you've seen, like, any, once they start, you know, have a warrant to, like,
they'll find you. They don't need fucking Lisa Barlow to tell you where they are.
Right. So I don't think any of the women were working with
me neither,
any sort of officials, but I do think they, the ones who had their own suspicions, like, were doing their own research. Like, Whitney is pretty up on what Jen's business was.
Got
and
it.
She's the one in the car explaining to everyone what she thought she did, but what she actually does.
So the thing is I watched some clips of Heather on Watch Robins Live, and I have to say, like, I'm so done with Heather, and, like, I was so obsessed beyond belief. When Andy was like, do you think she did it? First of all, it's not, do you think, this isn't, like, you know, you're on trial. It's the FBI. Like, you did it, you know?
Yeah. No, last night's episode of Watch What Happens Live was really disappointing. And, I, you know, it's the biggest episode that we've had in so long, if anything. They chose Heather to be the spokesperson for Salt Lake City.
And Michael Rappaport
was there, who's always has great takes. And I just, like, it wasn't giving me anything. And I was thinking to myself, because Heather was saying, like, she wants to be a good friend to Jen. You don't kick a friend while they're down. And I was thinking about that. And I was thinking, if this were one of my friends who were going through this, how would I react? And because I'm friends with people, because I love them and I trust them and I think that they're good people, I would not be able to believe what I was hearing.
Right.
Therefore, I would probably stand by them until I had to.
It was unavoidable.
Until I had to face the facts. But Jen has never been that friend to you.
No.
She's been only really quite awful. This isn't like the Jen who you thought was like the best, sweetest, kindest person ever.
Heather's desperation for Jen's friendship has always been like really illusory and apparent. And now that no one else wants to be friends with Jen, Heather's like, great, I can be the number one friend. And it makes Heather look like such a loser. And I like have no respect for it. I really don't.
So Watch What Happens Live was so disappointing. The takes were all off. And they were just like focusing on the...
Even Michael Rappaport, like, come on. Yes. You're like always crazy. Like, what we're all thinking.
And I like Michael Rappaport so much. It didn't strike anything within me. They were focusing on the dumbest shit, like how they all, like Jen, like they start the drive and Jen had brought snacks and left them on the car and they just like got into them.
That's
and
funny.
It was like, yeah, duh, there's snacks sitting there. This girl's not coming. She's
right, the snacks aren't illegal.
She's in jail.
Yeah, right.
Like, and we're on halfway to bail.
Did we ever get a Jen Shah mugshot?
I don't know.
I feel like we didn't.
I don't think I haven't seen anything. So anyways, watching all the women, like it was a very much like a cycle of emotions. People are saying that like Lisa's acting weird. I don't think that like that she might somehow have something to do with something, because she called like her six attorneys. I just think she likes to be well informed.
Yeah, and like I'm not like she's like a yenta.
And also when they first like when they're in the car, first Jen, like the feds are looking for her, and they told the girls, you know, we want to make sure Jen's okay. So they are just like believing everything that they're hearing. Eventually, you know,
they get the report.
They see what we saw. Jen has been arrested for fraud, wiretaps, whatever.
Yeah.
And Heather and Lisa start crying. And they're like, I feel so bad. I feel so bad for her family. They're so upset by the news. It's really like a
it's a cycle of emotions for sure.
They're processing everything. So that's why it's really interesting. I mean, Jenny, who has absolutely no relationship with Jen, probably is representative of how most people feel.
Right. Like,
and between Jenny and Whitney, like they are able to
piece together,
have a good understanding of what's actually going on.
That's good.
Meredith has the best understanding because I think she's been looking into this, and she's also just, you know, smart cookie.
Yeah.
But like Mary's reaction was also really surprising because they are not friends, and like she was devastated, like, oh, to hear this, just devastated. Like, it's shocking.
Yeah.
So it and now they're in bail.
Right.
And it's like a fabulous place to be. The house is sick. I would love to be there.
Let's go.
Once again, like the vibes of Salt Lake City giving us everything.
Immaculate.
And it's really just, we're off to the races. It's crazy because I had almost forgotten that all this happened, and now it's like day one all over again.
No, I'm very much looking forward to reliving it and looking forward to justice being served.
And understanding more, even though I feel like we have a pretty good understanding.
Of like the business.
Yeah. And I don't know if there's a way out for Jen Shah.
I mean, I don't know. Every time we go through one of these things, like with Erica, I'm like, there's no way out. This is going to be her last season. Like, you know what? She's going to be fine.
I know, but it's like Erica is Coach Shaw in this situation.
Right. No, like...
And the Coach Shaw is actually, like, pretty irrelevant.
I think...
But also, he's not the one on television.
In terms of all of the kind of criminal things we've seen on Housewives, this has got to be the worst.
Because...
It's her.
It's
like,
not her.
What Tom did was worse, like, no, for sure.
It's both ripping off vulnerable people, stealing...
But Erica's husband, Jen, was the CEO.
Yes.
Like, I think this is the worst one. And I think if there's ever a time where a housewife should be fired, it should be Jen Shah.
Yeah. Yeah. So we shall see. Anyways, crazy night of television. Have to do the other half tonight.
Crazy episode. I mean, crazy morning shows episode. I'm exhausted.
So much. There was so much to get off our chests.
We also just have like a busy day, like meetings, photo shoots, podcasts. Like, we're just...
We have the busiest day that hasn't even started yet.
I know. So we are going to go, but we hope you guys enjoyed today's episode. We're obviously back tomorrow. And thank you so much for listening to The Morning Toast, the Millennial Morning Show, where we deliver the fast five stories that you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching this on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We're also available as a podcast anywhere podcasts can be found. So it's Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, all the places. So wherever you listen to podcasts, find us The Morning Toast, leave a five-star review about how beautiful, stunning, and smart we are. And if you're still listening, congratulations. You made it to the end of this episode. You are a true toaster.
And the scarf emoji.
Yeah, please go drop the scarf emoji on
our list. Is that what you were going to say?
No. I hadn't thought about it yet. Like, it literally comes to me the second I say
I wouldn't know that because you're always so prepared.
No, literally never think about it. So, yes, let's leave the red scarf on our most recent Instagram. Fuck Jake Gyllenhaal. Have a great day.
Bye.
Bye.